Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on Save Your Sanity, Making Self-Care Work for You, with my special guest, certified life coach and speaker, Charles Gossett. I'm Charissa Sebastian, a coach, speaker, writer, and co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find out more about me and what I do on my website at charissasebastian.com. I'd also like to take a moment to tell you about a fabulous women's one-day spa retreat that's coming up on February 20th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I know that seems like an eternity away, but February is just around the corner, so we've already gone ahead and opened up ticket sales for that event. So if you're interested in spending a spa day with us on February 20th to learn all about self-confidence and how to really get the most out of your self-confidence, then I would highly encourage you to join us at the spa on February 20th. And also part of the proceeds are going to support Hope Store, which is a local shelter. And if you'd like to find out more about the retreat, you can go to stopsmilebreathe.com. I'd also like to invite listeners to call in with any comments or questions. The dial-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, that number is 646-716-9397, and you can call in at any time. So let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about saving your sanity and making self-care work for you. I'm joined by my guest, Charles Gossett, as I mentioned earlier, who is a certified life coach, speaker, and owner of Full Integration Coaching. Charles, welcome.
Thank you, Charissa. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on, and also excited to talk about this very important topic. So before we jump in, would you like to take a few moments to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Charles Gossett. I'm a certified professional coach, and my business is called Full Integration Coaching. And I work with individuals and organizations to create long-lasting, sustainable change from the inside out. My passion is helping people to overcome the limitations that are holding them back, giving them the clarity they need to reimagine the possibilities for their life, and empowering them to take charge of their future. To learn more about me, you can visit me at fullintegrationcoaching.com. Of course, follow along on Facebook and Twitter. And I do have a special right now on for Veterans Day. For any veteran that's listening and may be interested in my services, I'm offering 25% off of life coaching services through November 30th of 2015. That's for 3, 6, and 12-month packages.
Wow, that's fantastic, Charles. And to all of you listening out there, I really highly encourage you to take Charles up on his offer. You can also see his testimonials on his website, and people are really raving about Charles and his coaching, and it's no wonder because he is an absolutely fabulous coach. So thank you so much for introducing yourself, Charles.
Absolutely.
So for many of us, self-care is something that ends up on the back burner and, you know, if we leave room for it at all, in our busyness and then the demands of daily life, we may think that self-care is a luxury that we just don't have the time for. We may think that it's selfish to spend that extra time on ourselves when we have so many others to care for. Or we think that we should be able to handle all of the responsibilities and stress of our lives and that it somehow shows weakness to take care of ourselves. Well, neither of these could be further from the truth. The truth is, we're all under an epidemic or an epidemic levels of stress and self-care. And self-care is one of the most effective, empowering, and sane ways you can reduce your stress and live a better and healthier life. And another truth is, if you don't take care of yourself now, others will do it for you sooner rather than later in the form of doctors, hospitals, family members, and the list goes on and on. So you're going to learn how to make self-care work for you on the call today, on this radio show, and also build your own successful six-step self-care plan. And if you start now, you'll be treating yourself to better health and well-being for the days, weeks, and years to come. So welcome again, Charles. I'm so excited to get into this topic with you. So let's start off by talking about what self-care is. How do we define this? Because there's so much talk about it these days, and I think it will be helpful to just kind of wrap our heads around what this is.
Yeah, there is a lot of talk going on around self-care, and there are hundreds of definitions. In fact, in my research for this show alone, I found about a dozen definitions, and they range from very short and pithy to long and difficult to understand. So I'm going to try to meet somewhere in the middle. The definition first, but probably the most simple definition I have for self-care, is taking responsibility for your own health and well-being in all areas of your life. So self-care is taking responsibility for your own health and well-being in all areas of your life. I think that pretty much sums it up in a simple way. Sort of drawing that out a little bit more, self-care is an active and powerful choice to engage in the activities that are required to gain or maintain an optimal level of overall health and well-being in all areas of your life. So with that second definition, it's more about the engaging process that is self-care. In order to be involved in self-care, you have to do something. It's constantly making choices. It's constantly being an active participant in your own health and well-being.
Absolutely. And a couple of words that stood out for me in those definitions, Charles. One is responsibility. Because I don't think, well, at least not from what I've read and understood, a lot of times that's not a word we typically would associate with self-care necessarily. That wouldn't be the first thing, at least, that pops into my mind. But really, what you said is so powerful that you do have to, it is a matter of taking responsibility for your own health and well-being. And then also, like you said, do you have that choice? So there is a powerful choice that's involved, and then that engaging process that needs to come with it. So it definitely has to be very intentional and very deliberate. It's not something that just, you know, we just wake up one day and all of a sudden just roll right into taking care of ourselves and functioning at that optimal level. We have to make a conscious decision and a conscious choice to be able to take care of ourselves and our own well-being.
That's so true. And, you know, and many of us, like myself included, have found out the hard way what not taking good care of yourself is like. And even in the title, even back to the title of the show, Save Your Sanity, Making Self-Care Work for You, the word sanity has its roots in the word that we use is health. So when I think of the word sanity today, I'm thinking like, okay, mental health, you know, mental health and well-being just in that way. But really it means overall health. So really taking care of your health in all areas of life is an act of sanity. It's insane not to. And I think there's a lot of insanity in our society and culture, and there has been in my own life in the past and sometimes in the present. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we shove it to the back burner. We've got other things. We're staying busy. We're trying to be productive and get things done and achieve more. And so, therefore, our health is suffering as a result.
Right. And I think it also goes back to what we were saying earlier about it being, well, sometimes it can be perceived as being selfish versus necessary. So let's talk a little bit about those two aspects of self-care.
Yeah, that's a big one too. And I know there's a great quote. I posted it on my Facebook page today, but it's the picture that you have of the mother or the dad and the child in the airplane. And the quote that I have is, just like on a plane, you need to put on your own oxygen mask first before trying to help others. And so that's the procedure in an airplane. Heaven forbid we'd actually have to do that sometime. But it's a good metaphor, because if we're not caring for ourselves, then we're not able to care for others as well as we could. And I'm sure there are listeners out there who have experienced that before or are experiencing it now. When you're not at your best and you don't have your full energy and capacity to help another person, it's going to show, and you're going to start not being able to help at the level that you would like to be able to.
Right, and I know I definitely experienced that as well. And some of the warning signs, and unfortunately sometimes we do let it go, get to the point that we're so stressed and overwhelmed, and sometimes it takes something like that to really help us to realize that we do need to take care of ourselves in order to be there for others. Because if we're at that point already of just unbelievable stress and overwhelm, not only are we not doing things that are, you know, that may not be in our best interest, but then we can't help other people in the way that we want to.
That's right. And it's a matter of priorities, too. Like I mentioned, some of those priorities. We're trying to get something done all the time. We're trying to stay busy. For some reason, we just have to stay busy. I'm trying to figure that one out. But it has something to do with productivity, but I'm not sure about some of the other reasons that we're so busy. And when we are, we tend to miss things. We tend to miss little signs about our own health, because our focus is so outward. If we're constantly thinking of ways to help others, we're leaving ourselves out of the mix. And it's only a matter of time till that catches up with us.
Yes, absolutely. And then one of the other things that came to mind when you said that is, you know, why do we stay busy? Why do we feel the need to just constantly go, go, go and do all of these things and maybe have these to-do lists, and we're just constantly looking for, okay, what is it? What's the next thing that I have to get done? I think part of that ties back to one of our basic needs to feel significant, like to feel like, you know, we're constantly doing things, so it makes us feel better about ourselves. Like, you know, I'm very active, I'm doing all of these different things that need to get done and all of that kind of stuff. So that might tie back into that need for us to feel significant, whereas if you think about just stopping and, you know, people could, or generally we could look at that as like almost a waste of time, because you're just stopping and not necessarily, and taking the time for yourself and not necessarily doing things, you know, all these things that need to be done. So I can see how that can be a hindrance to people when they think about self-care. It's like, no, but I have all of these other things that need that, you know, it's almost like a must for them. Like they absolutely must get done. But then what they don't realize is that not only do they, and I speak from my own experience as well, because when you get to that point where you're so focused on doing all these other things versus taking care of yourself, you can't function at your peak, like you mentioned before. You get burnt out a lot easier, and at the end of the day, it doesn't help you or the other people that you're trying to help.
Yeah, that's so well said, Charissa. And of course, when I mentioned that I'm still trying to figure this out, why we stay busy, that was sort of tongue-in-cheek, too, because I have many of the same drivers in my life. You know, why do I stay so busy? Well, because I'm trying to, in a sense, prove something. You know, I'm trying to show that I measure up, that I have value in our society, that I'm providing for my family, or that I'm showing to myself that I'm somehow worthy, that I have enough self-worth, and I can demonstrate it by producing something. And yes, absolutely. And it ties back for a lot of us towards our sense of self-worth. We kind of judge each other in our society based on how busy we are. We sort of use it like money, like a currency. And we can sort of compare ourselves to others and have these busy badges of honor that we're showing off to one another and saying, I'm so tired because I've done all of these things. And we secretly have a bit of pride when we're telling someone how tired we are. So, well, in one sense, it is wonderful that we're able to get all that done. What else are we missing?
Yes, absolutely. And what a great analogy there with the currency. That's so true, because we do tend to do that. And even if we don't outwardly voice it, but we're always trying to, you know, and it goes back to what you were saying about our own sense of value and self-esteem. Sometimes we try to feel like we have to measure up to whatever standard it is that we set for ourselves, even if we outwardly don't compare ourselves to others or try to make ourselves feel better. But inwardly, sometimes we, you know, we go through this whole thing of, yeah, I've got to reach that certain level. I've got to get all of these things done that I have on my list every single day, and I don't have time for myself because that, you know, in my mind, that doesn't equate to giving me that value and the significance that I want, that I need. So that can be a trap as far as not taking care of yourself.
It sure can be, and it can be a driver to keep you in the trap because that's also a social value for a lot of
yeah.
us that we kind of, it just filters, kind of creeps in unconsciously, and we find ourselves being driven and we don't know why. Well, that might be why, you know, because that's the expectation in our society. But there are other ways that you can still stay busy and care for yourself at least a little better than now, you know, in general for people listening out there.
Absolutely. So one of the other things that I wanted to touch on, and this actually ties in with what we were just saying, is this thought that we're supposed to be able to handle whatever comes up for us, you know, handle the whatever situation we're in, handle the level of stress that we're under. And by handle, that we don't necessarily think of it in terms of taking care of ourselves, but handle in terms of just kind of suck it up and keep moving forward, rather than focusing on self-care to be able to reduce stress. So in those kinds of situations, how do we let go of what we've been holding on to? All that, you know, the stress and the anxiety and frustration and overwhelm and all those kinds of things.
That's a big one for me. And I think that can be a big one for a lot of men. And I'm generalizing. Right? That can be a big one for women, too. But to be able to handle it, to be tough enough, to be, in my case, to be man enough, to be seen as strong enough to be able to handle everything that's in my life and not even mention it, let alone complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's something that I've sort of inherited through growing up, just not from just my family, but just from the culture around me. So that's part of it, for at least in my case. And then I think that should be able to handle it also applies to peer groups. So as a coach, you know, do I have a need for a coach, for example? Of course I do. You know, I use a coach regularly. You and I work together regularly. And I have the needs that other people have, too, in order to be my very best. And self-care is part of that. If I'm really going to be honest with myself, I can't handle it all. That's just not reality. That's not sane. In fact, that's insane to think that I can. And I've tried to live that way, and sometimes I still do, and it catches up with me a lot quicker now because I run my own business. You know, I answer to all my clients. I have many more bosses than I ever had, but along with that, greater freedom, of course, too. So I think those are a couple of the things that come to mind for me that am I strong enough, am I man enough, am I woman enough, and then my peer group. Real quickly, one last thing. I spoke to a group of nurses at the state conference in Oklahoma couple of weeks ago, and I asked this group of nurses, I said, how many of you in this room think that you should be able to handle the daily stress that you have on the job? And there was kind of a laughter and a sigh, and hands went up, and kind of a little bit of relief and maybe some anxiety, because, yeah, nurses work really hard, and they have a lot of stress in their jobs, but still, they have an expectation generally that they should be able to handle it.
Yeah, and I think we all have those levels of expectation, whether we put them on ourselves or whether they're from, like you mentioned, the peer group. And that's a big deal, the peer group. And that could be, you know, it could be whoever you surround yourself with. It could even be your family, friends, coworkers, whoever it is that you're around. It depends on, you know, what's their opinion and their view on this idea of self-care and taking time to reduce stress and all of that, and how do they deal with it? Because a lot of times, you know, that can definitely, even maybe not on a conscious level, but on a subconscious level, just by being around people who have maybe a different view on it, it can definitely impact the way we see things and then our, you know, our actions and, of course, our results.
It sure can. You know, and Charissa, there's one other story that might be, maybe we have a couple of minutes for this. It's a story that's gone around social media. So many of our listeners, maybe they've heard it before, but maybe some of them haven't. And I've changed a couple of words in it so it applied to our talk. But here's how the story goes. And so how do we let go of these stresses that build up, and what are they like? How do we deal with them? So here's the story. A life coach walked around a room while teaching stress reduction to an audience. As she raised a glass of water, everyone expected they'd be asked the half-empty or half-full question. Instead, with a smile on her face, she inquired, "How heavy is this glass of water?" The answers that were called out ranged from 8 ounces to 20 ounces. She replied, "The absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an ache in my arm. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change, but the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes." The stresses and worries in life are like that glass of water. Think about them for a while and not much happens. Think about them a bit longer and they start to hurt. And if you think about them all day long, you will feel paralyzed, incapable of doing anything. It's important to remember to let go of your stresses as early in the evening as you can. Put all of your burdens down. Now would be a good time for anyone listening. Don't carry them through the evening and into the night. Remember to put the glass down.
Wow, that is so powerful. I actually did not see, I've heard of the, a little bit about the story, but I haven't heard it told that way. And that is so powerful for what we're talking about, because it really does drive that home in such a, such a powerful yet simple way that we do really need to be aware of that. And I think it does start with that just awareness of what is it that I'm holding on to. You know, maybe at the end of the day when you come home from work and you have a chance to just breathe and to sit down and to think about, okay, so I have a choice in this moment on what I'm going to focus on. Am I going to focus on and bring in the stress from the day and all of these things that I've been carrying? Because if I decide to do that and if I continue to do that, then like you said, it can become absolutely paralyzing, and then you don't have the capacity to do what you really need to do and those things that are important to you. And it's absolutely a choice. That's a very powerful way to deal with it. And thank you so much for sharing that, Charles.
Oh, sure. It really hit me hard, too. And I thought I wanted to share that tonight because it's so meaningful.
Yeah, and I think even if that's the only thing that we take away from this is just the awareness, just to be able to stop and think about it and think about what is it that we're really holding on to and then make a decision. I mean, that's really powerful. And we haven't even got to the self-care plan, which I'm so excited about, Charles, that we're going to get to in a little bit. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting. That essentially is the plan. I mean, there's some steps to it, and I'll walk through that. But that's really where it starts, Charissa. It is for me, and it is with the people I work with. We start with self-awareness, and that's really critical. It's critical to coaching, but it's also critical to our own development. And if I'm going to really engage in my own health and my own well-being, I really need to know something about myself. I need to understand what's causing the stress, not just the fact that I have it, because there's people out there that will treat stress no matter what the conditions are. And that can be useful, but it's more useful to understand what the underlying cause is, because there may be a different way to engage in your life that will reduce stress in and of itself.
Absolutely. And one other thing I'll add to that, Charles, as far as just the awareness, is also to be real about it, be honest with yourself about it, because I think sometimes we tend to, because we do have, or at least some of us have this mindset, and I know I certainly have, that you have to be able to deal with it, like we spoke about before, and sometimes we tend to negate those things. We tend to think, oh, that's not the thing that's causing me stress, even though when we're in those situations, it is absolutely stressful, and we tend to carry that with us. So I would just add to that, to the awareness of it, is really be honest with yourself about what is it that you're carrying, what are the stresses and those burdens and those thoughts that you're holding on to that can really, that are really elevating that level of stress for you.
Yes, and like you mentioned, I have a degree of that in me too, like you do. I should be able to handle it. I mean, I wouldn't be in business in myself if I didn't have some of that. So I definitely understand it on a personal level. But for me, what I'm discovering, gradually, slowly, some days are better than others, is that self-care is really essential for me in the business that I'm in. I need to stay healthy to do this. And also, on a personal level, in order to realize my fullest potential, which I'm very passionate about. I mean, that's my journey for the rest of my life, and to share that with others and find their potential. And so if I'm not really active with self-care and finding out what's zapping energy from me, why I'm getting sick, or what thoughts I'm entertaining, then I'm really spinning my wheels, and maybe I'm not living at my full potential where I could be.
Yeah, and that actually goes to the next thing that I was going to ask you about, is, and that's that whole piece about the reframing, and that goes exactly to what you just said. It's how do we look at that? Like, I love the way you just put that, that it's about being your best. It's about striving to be your best, and the only way we can do that is to take time out for self-care. So it's looking at it from a slightly different perspective and shifting that focus from, you know, maybe is it selfish, or I don't have the time, or I can't make the time because there's other things that are more important, to really start thinking about it in another way and saying, you know what, if I really want to be my best and give my best, then I do need to take a step back. This is absolutely necessary. It's not just, you know, something that I'll try my best to fit into my schedule. It has to be necessary in order for me to attain that level of success and, you know, to really be my best in every area of my life, because this is going to impact everything.
Yes, because it starts with me. It's really inward looking, isn't it? Instead of focusing outward, I'm looking inward and thinking, well, it really starts here. And that's where we have to get honest. And anytime we start looking inward, we're like, uh-oh, I've got to go there. But it's worth it, because when we do, first of all, we can start challenging the things that are false, but we can also magnify the things that are true. So our highest values, our strongest beliefs, what we're most passionate about. And we can align our self-care plan with those things, too, to really help us to ensure a higher level of success. I know some of the excuses that I've used, and surely some others out there can relate, things that might get in the way of self-care. We've talked about a few, but I'm too tired. I'm too stressed. I'm too busy. I've got other things to do. You know, all the bad things in life won't happen to me. You know, those are all little, that's all our ego kind of giving us something to think about. But the amazing thing about self-care, the more that I practice it anyway, is that I feel better from the inside. And then I have more energy to do the things I want to do. I'm still busy, but I feel that I have more space. I use a lot of my time, but I feel like I have more space in that time. So it's a completely different perspective. It's essential to functioning at a high level for a long period of time.
Absolutely. And I can relate to what you just said, Charles, because it's the same with me. In fact, one of the things that is a kind of a red flag for me, or when I know that I'm not taking the time out and doing the things that I need to do. Like for me, a big part of my self-care plan is prayer and meditation in the morning, and taking that time and to just, you know, first thing in the morning to spend the, you know, that kind of that alone time when it's quiet and things like that. And when I tend to not spend as much time on that or just skip it altogether because I'm so busy running out the door or doing something, what tends to happen is I notice that my level of stress, like there's certain things that will trigger me that otherwise wouldn't. And so I tend to be a lot more maybe prone to stress and overwhelm and things like that. And that's an immediate thing for me. So whenever I feel myself going there and not feeling great inside, that's the first thing I think of is, okay, what do I need to do different? What's going on? You know, what is it that I need to change? And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, I realize that it's because I've maybe shifted away from my routine. And it doesn't take long for me to realize it. Maybe within, say, a week of me getting off my routine, I definitely sense that my productivity goes down, and I don't feel in tune with those things that I'm supposed to be, you know are important, that I need to do. So those can be, just for our listeners, that can be a sign to you. If you're experiencing high levels of stress and overwhelm and anxiety and all of those things, that can be, you know, a sign to you that if you find yourself in those situations where there's maybe a period in your day, or there's a time where you just feel yourself getting completely overwhelmed, to really think about what is it that I can do to take care of myself, so I can kind of reset my internal, you know, my internal clock or whatever it is, and really be able to then step into the place of where, you know, where I am functioning at a higher level.
That was beautiful. Yeah, I think you mentioned the word red flags, right? You see these. Yeah. Well, I have this too, and I liked that analogy, that there are these red flags that as we do become more self-aware or we look for these patterns, you start to pick up on things and you can use them to your advantage. Instead of, like, in the past, I would just ignore them and, you know, go get drunk. So, which, and that didn't work so well for me. I ended up being an alcoholic. But it worked for a while, and then it didn't, you know, and then things got really bad. So now that I'm sober and been sober for a while, then I can pay more attention, more consciously, to when those changes start to happen in my body, my mind, my emotions. When I look at another person's face after I say something and they're like, I don't know what's going on, but something's off, you know, because chronic stress, you know, absence of self-care really inhibits our decision-making ability. We make more mistakes. We try to do things that we normally wouldn't do. You know, desperation sometimes sinks in. We're more lethargic. We're more emotionally unbalanced. So it's difficult to lead effectively in any capacity of our life when we're chronically stressed.
Yeah, those are some great, like the red flags that I spoke about. You just listed some really, really good ones, Charles. There's so many of them that we can, you know, it's going to be different for everyone, but there's so many of them that you just mentioned that I think are very common, and we can all relate to them in one or more areas of our lives. And those can be our triggers to say, whoa, wait a second, you know, let me take a step back and think about this. What's going on internally and what may be causing this? What do I need to do differently?
Yeah. Yes. And some of the positive, obviously, we're also talking about the positive. So on the flip side of, you know, when we start to get in trouble, look for those red flags, some of the positive indicators we can also look at through our filters are we feeling better? Is our health improving? Do we have less stress, more energy? Are our relationships improving? We're more productive at work. Do we have more self-confidence? All of those are results. They're indicators of effective self-care and other things as well, but certainly directly tied to really good self-care.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought those up, because those can also be motivating factors for us to realize that if we really want those things that you just listed, if we want those stronger relationships and higher productivity and all of those things, then self-care is absolutely essential to be able to get there.
It is, and those rewards really do come, and they're self-generating after a while. You know, work with a coach for a while, work with your friends, work with your pastor, work with your family members, work with somebody to help keep you accountable, let them know what you're doing, and we'll get into that in here in a little bit, but certainly don't isolate. If you're really, really invested in self-care, even just a little bit, okay, you don't have to be all in. You can go ahead and eat everything you want at Thanksgiving if you just have to do it, and overeat, even though you don't want to. But at least start making some changes now and let people know what you're doing. And that will help. Once you do start, you know, doing it on a consistent basis, then others will let you know that you're doing it. And then you can internalize that. And then you can say, you know what? I made some good choices today. I wanted to go have lunch with a friend, and I ate healthy, and I had a dessert because I could, and I feel great about it. And so, just like you said, over time, it starts to be self-fulfilling, and that's the beauty of it.
Yes, and people can actually see that, because you tend to be more at peace and happier and calmer and those kind of things, and people definitely pick up on that as well. So, yeah, and I love what you just said about the accountability, and one of the things that has helped me probably more than anything else in this area to be able to reflect on some of my behavior and what's going on is coaching, because why that was so powerful for me was because it was somebody else asking me these questions and helping me to kind of think through things that I wouldn't necessarily think of on my own. And so that immediately brought up things that that really pinpointed for me, okay, this is an area that I really need to focus on. So that can be really powerful. So I highly recommend that if you're feeling like you're, you know, to our listeners, if you feel like you are just completely overwhelmed and stressed and frustrated and all of those different things, to maybe think about reaching out to a coach. I mean, it's definitely helpful to reach out to somebody that you trust and you can talk to, as far as like a friend or family member or colleague or something like that. But if you really want to go a little deeper on this and figure out what exactly is it that may be keeping you a little bit stuck in this area, like you may already identify that you need help and you need to focus on self-care, but you're just not quite sure how to get there. one reason or another, it just doesn't seem to be working out for you. So definitely something that's helped me. So I just share that from my own, you know, personal experience when it comes to self-care and high levels of, you know, stress and things like that. So I think without coaching, I highly doubt that I would have been able to get the results that I did. And like you said, Charles, earlier, it is an ongoing process. I mean, there's definitely going to be times where you do feel stress and that kind of thing. It's all a matter of that awareness. And the more you practice this, the easier it becomes to be able to deal with those situations and work through it.
Yes, very well said. And it resonates, what you shared resonates with my experience too. You know, this coaching thing works, and this isn't a sell. You know, I have a desire for authenticity. It's one of my highest values. And so I wouldn't say it works if it didn't. And so I love the fact that accountability piece, the objective accountability, you know.
Yes.
As a coach, I try to stay out of another person's story, but I'm deeply listening at the same time. So we get that insight, and I get that insight from another coach for my life. And it's indispensable. I couldn't do without it.
Absolutely. And I think another big factor for me is I've had, you know, in the past I had a problem with really opening up and being vulnerable and being just real about certain things going on. But in that coaching relationship, what really helped me to get to that place is the fact that I know it's a safety net. Like that whole coaching relationship, like you just mentioned, it's that place, it's that safe place where you can just be authentic and real, and you know, and there's no judgment and that kind of thing. So that again was, you know, that was another huge part of it for me, just from my own personal experience going through that.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of thoughts came to mind too, Charissa, as we've been talking. Some other things that kind of can get in the way, can kind of thwart our efforts at self-care and even considering it. Maybe we've tried it in the past, and we're just tired of it. You know, why should now be any different? Could be one thought that some listeners are having. And there can be various reasons for that. One of them, though, can be a pretty difficult mindset that some of those folks out there listening can have, and I've had it before too, is the victim mentality. The idea that there's really nothing I can do to change my world, the world that I live in, every day. I wake up to the same thing every day. I'm sort of powerless to change anything. There's not a lot I can do to make a difference in how I live my life. And that's a really toxic point of view, especially if we believe it strongly. So that may be one thing that sort of gets in the way of those that have tried self-care, have tried to take good care of themselves, and they haven't been able to make much progress for any length of time, because maybe it all comes crashing in on themselves because they just don't have the mindset to make it last. Another related way that we can get in our own way of self-care is we can have a conflict mentality. So we're at war with the world, and we're constantly trying to get our way done. It's our way or the highway. And it's very, very difficult to be honest with ourselves and to see the impact that we have on others when we're in that frame of mind. And so just a couple of thoughts about, you know, being the victim, being the conqueror, being in conflict with everything. Third way, I could say, another mindset, I'm calling it the sitting on the fence mindset. So, oh, you know, maybe I'll do it, but maybe I won't. Maybe I'll do a couple of these steps, but then at some point it starts to fizzle out because we just justify not doing it anymore. So to our listeners out there, be on the lookout for those gremlins, those little demons sneaking up. You can overcome them by, you know, really setting empowering goals for yourself and sticking to them.
Yes, very, very powerful insights there, Charles. I love what you just said about those different aspects. So it is so important for us to really be able to have a clear idea of what we're looking for. Like, how is it that, how can we identify with some of these things and know what they are so that we can be aware of it? And then from there, figure out, okay, what is it that, what action do we need to take to move us forward? So, and I'm very excited to get into the next part of the show, the second half of the show, because we're going to be talking about just that. What are those simple steps that we can take? Because I'm sure most of you listening are probably thinking, okay, this is all great, and I get the whole, you know, I get the idea of self-care and why it's important, but how do I really incorporate that into my busy life and my busy schedule and make it work for me? So we're going to be talking about that. But before we do, I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and then take this opportunity to let you all know that the show on Save Your Sanity making self-care work for you, is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. If you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and a month free trial of this service, and we really appreciate your support. I'd also like to take a moment to invite our listeners to call in. If you have any questions or comments, you can feel free to call in at any time between now and the end of the show. And that number, again, is 646-716-9397. Again, it's 646-716-9397. So, Charles, let's get back to talking about this really important topic. And the next topic that I'd like to address is this idea of incorporating it into our busy lives. So I know you have this the self-care plan that we're going to go into, and I'm so excited about that because I think that, for me and the way my mind works, I love to have this plan. You know, I love to have the steps all outlined and know exactly, you know, what I need to do and all of those things. But one quick thing that I wanted to touch on, and you already mentioned this a little bit, is these, because I really want to highlight, how does this hurt us if we just for whatever reason don't have the time, or we don't take the time to take care of ourselves? What are some of the things that happen as a result? So, in other words, like that impulse behavior, like you spoke about the alcohol, and thank you so much for being so open with us on that and so honest about it. What are some of the behaviors that these could also be those red flags that I talked about earlier, those impulse behaviors that can result from us not taking care of ourselves?
Most of us probably know what some of those are, but maybe we just kind of need a bit of a reminder or a bit of a hint. So typically these might be called lifestyle behaviors. What we tend to do when we're encountering stress in our lives. So, for example, in order to make up for lost energy that stress zaps and takes away from us, do we tend to drink a lot of coffee to try to make up for that energy? Again, not judging any of our listeners, just saying, think to yourself, am I trying to get more energy from coffee that I could be getting just by making different choices? Medications, of course, that's another, I mentioned the word epidemic that's been mentioned, prescription drugs, we've got an epidemic of those. Let's say I have a prescription for pain pills. Do I really still need them at this point? You know, am I still in enough pain to be taking the pills? Am I saving up pills and taking three at a time instead of one three times a day? Just behaviors like that that we kind of trick ourselves with. Am I withdrawing more from people? So even if I'm an introvert, which I kind of can be, am I withdrawing more from people because I just can't stand it? I can't stand any more interaction with people. I'm too overwhelmed. And then, engaging in self-destructive behaviors. Am I sabotaging my relationships? Am I setting myself up for failure in repeated patterns in my life? And that can take a little bit more work to find those. On the other hand, some positive behaviors might be like, do I exercise two or three times a week? Do I get enough sleep at night most nights? Am I eating healthy overall? Do I have a sense of humor? And how about my rituals? Am I maintaining some form of my rituals? And am I planning for the future? Am I actively looking for ways to manage my stress? Am I conscious of when I'm achieving positive things in my life? How am I internalizing my accomplishments? Those are all positive self-care lifestyle behaviors.
Yes, I love that question around stress and how, what am I doing to manage my stress better or to reduce my level of stress? Because that's a really great question to really get to this area of, okay, what do I need to do to take better care of myself and to reduce that stress and overwhelm and anxiety and all of that. And then the other thing that comes into play is guilt, like we talked about earlier. You know, is this a selfish thing? If I do take care of myself and do these things that I know I need to kind of recharge, is that going to bring along with it these feelings of guilt? And then how do I deal with that?
Right, because that could just be a cycle. You know, I've had lots of that in my life, the guilt-shame cycle, and stress is always right there in the middle of that. Because in one sense, stress is just conflict of some kind. You know, maybe it's our values running up against our actions. Maybe it's our self-view versus how we would like to view ourselves. Whatever that is, it's some form of conflict that's creating a dissonance, a stress. And so guilt is a huge one in our society, and shame is still huge. Even though maybe we wish that it weren't, it still is. And so, yes, how do we overcome that? How do we change our view of ourselves so that, and our actions, so that we don't experience so much guilt? You know, that could be a strategy. That may be on the self-care plan.
That's so true. And I think it also goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, why is it that why do we need to focus on this? What's the big why? What's the big reason and driver? Because that can really help to overcome some of those things as well. It can help to overcome the guilt when you feel yourself going there. Think about your big reason for doing this. It could be for your kids, for your family. You want to be more present with them. You don't want to be stressed and overwhelmed, you know, when you come home in the evening. It could be a variety of things. It could be knowing that in order to be your very best, you do need to take time out and take time for yourself. It could be whatever your big reason for doing this, but really connect with and identify with that reason that's going to keep you on track and keep you asking that question, how do I reduce my stress on a daily basis? And then with that said, Charles, I think let's go right into this self-care plan. I can't wait to hear all about this.
It's fairly simple. And for those listening, I'll post this again in a blog post that I'll put on my website here, maybe this week or certainly by next week. It's a simple 6-step self-care plan. And you know what? My big why right now, for example, my big why is so that I can continue to build the business that I'm loving so much. That's my big why. Why am I doing self-care? Because without it, I don't have a business. I mean, it's very simple. I have to have it. And I want to have it because it feels good. So, okay, here are the steps. Oh, and one other thing, by the way, I volunteer in a local hospital here in Oklahoma City just 4 hours a week, and I've built that into my lifestyle intentionally so that I can serve others and just, I say, be kind for no reason at all. It's really great to be able to work with patients and their families and like I said, be kind for no good reason. It feels good. It's a good way to start the week. But as I'm working there, I'm seeing patients that come in every time that I work, and I'm seeing evidence of what it looks like when we do not take good care of ourselves over years. And that's a motivator for me, too. I don't want that. I know I'm going to die someday, but I don't want to go out with that history. So I'm going to do everything I can now to prevent that from happening to me. So the negative can be a good motivator, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go. Enough of that. Here are the 6 steps. So the first one, first, make a commitment to take responsibility for your own self-care. No one can do this for you. You are worth it. So it takes commitment. Now, some of you out there are thinking, gosh, this is just too much already. You know, I don't know that I can do that. Well, could you imagine making a commitment? Could you just consider making a commitment that may be enough? Who knows? I don't know. The fact is, no one can do it for you, and it needs to be done. And also, you're worth it. So that's the first step. Whatever that commitment means to you, write it down. Second step, take action. Prioritize the top 1 to 3 areas of life or domains. I'll mention those in a moment. Prioritize the top 1 to 3 domains of your life you want to focus on first. Example, the physical, the social, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual realms. I'll cover those again. 1 to 3 of those areas. And you likely you know what they are already. Go with what comes to mind first and you know you want to do or you know you need to do. Either one. If you're a go-getter and you're just like, I'm going to do three, well, that's fine. Go ahead and write three. But if you're more timid and you're like, I'm not sure that I'm ready for this, but I'll try one, then do one. The point is do something. Okay, again, those domains of life, as I list them for this plan, are physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social. We could do a whole other show on those domains, but those are the basic areas of human life. Okay, step three is to get specific. Exactly how do you want to improve your self-care in each area? List 1 to 3 things you will do in each area. Okay, so you're increasing your commitment. We're trying to increase your buy-in to your own self-care. Get specific. How do you want to improve your self-care in each of those areas you listed? List 1 to 3 things you will do. Okay, number 4, schedule it. Things on your calendar, your mobile device, your bathroom mirror, your office desk, your workstation. I don't know where else you could put them. Put them somewhere. Put them on your steering wheel. The point is, schedule it. If you do not schedule it, you are giving yourself an out. By scheduling it, you are supporting your success. Now, there's no saying that you couldn't reschedule it at some point, but for now, schedule it. Put it somewhere on your calendar. Number 5, tell somebody. Let friends, family, coworkers know what you're doing and why it's important to you. Ask for support. So it's very, very important. We've come this far. If you've listened to the whole show and you're like, okay, I can do this so far, I think. Sometimes people will trip on this one. You need to tell somebody. Tell somebody that you can trust that won't let you off the hook and won't dig into you too deep unless that's what you need. Only you know that. So tell somebody, let them know, and ask for support. And number 6, do it. Follow your plan and treat yourself to a healthier, more fulfilling life. Get an accountability buddy and stick to it. Okay, so you've told somebody, but you need to have somebody hold you accountable, and you need to tell them what that means. So if you're committing to, for example, I'm committing to working out twice a week. Number 2, I'm going to take some action. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to work out for 20 minutes on Tuesday at this time, whatever time, and 20 minutes on Friday at that time. Exactly how do I want to improve? What 3 things am I going to do? Okay, 5 minutes of aerobic, 10 minutes of stretching, and I don't know, 5 minutes of weightlifting, whatever. 4, I've already scheduled it, okay? I'm going to tell somebody. I'm telling everybody that's listening. So I'm asking for your support, but I work out regularly. But I am asking for your support. Okay, and number 6, do it. Okay, now I need to do it. That's on me. I've got everything in place I need. I'm committed. And so if I start to waver on my commitment, I need to reach out to my accountability buddy or my support network until I can have that internalized, that behavior internalized, and make it happen. And that is the 6-step plan. So first, make a commitment. 2, take action. 3, get specific. 4, schedule it. 5, tell somebody. And 6, do it.
Oh, that is brilliant. Thank you so much, Charles, for laying it out like that. A lot of it is very intuitive and, you know, simple, but sometimes we just need it to be spelled out in that order. And I know sometimes I do, because I need to be able to see, okay, what do I do first, and then what do I do next, and how do I execute this so that it gives me the most benefit. So, yeah, great job. Wow, that's really fantastic. And then the question that I had for you, Charles, is you mentioned exercise as an example, and that was a really good example to kind of walk through those different steps. Do you have any other examples and simple things that people can do to step into this area of self-care?
Right. So let me just briefly go through, and I'm just going to invent these as I go, but some things that I do and some other ideas. So there's the physical component. Another example of a physical component, domain of life, could be my eating habits. There's so much information out there. We already know. We know what we need to do, basically. So do one of those things and make it something that you know it's going to take a little bit of effort for you to do. So I'm going to need to eat more vegetables, for example, this week. That's what I want to do. I want to eat one vegetable a day. Okay, that's a great goal. Good job. You're worth it. Eat a vegetable. Okay, then next, take action. Go get some vegetables. Make sure that you're in your house or make sure you go to a restaurant that serves vegetables. Okay, exactly how many vegetables do I want to eat a day? Well, one. When is it going to happen? Schedule it. I'm going to eat it at lunch. What happens if you don't, by the way? Well, I eat it for dinner. See? Don't let yourself off the hook. Tell somebody. Mm-hmm. Tell your mom you're going to eat a vegetable. Tell friends. Tell your husband. Tell your wife. Tell somebody. And then guess what? Do it. Eat a vegetable. And then at the end of that, you can tell your accountability buddy, whoever that is, that you ate a vegetable every day that week. And you can build on that. Very simple. Next, so the spiritual component. I'll go there next. That means different things to different people. What I mean by spiritual is something greater than just yourself. Okay, if that's God, if that's another religion, if that's Buddhism, if that's whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Something greater than yourself that you connect with. Okay, what are you going to do? Maybe that's prayer. Maybe you're going to pray twice a day. Maybe you're going to chant once a week. Maybe you're going to attend a religious service. Maybe you're going to go to a support group of some kind, like a 12-step group. Those can be very spiritual. So there's an example in that realm. Mental. A lot of us, what we need to do is just stop the wheels from spinning in our mind. So what I think of when I think of mental is stop the brain from just randomly thinking and put our attention into something else. For me, that means playing the guitar, singing, entering another realm by meeting with a friend. Domains. So socializing with a friend can stop the spinning in my mind. Doing crossword puzzles for some people or playing a game for a few minutes. Great examples. Social, like I said, meeting up with a friend. I'm doing that more and more often, and that's been wonderful for me. Socializing. We need connection, especially if you're busy. If you get busy, you may isolate yourself, and you'll be in trouble before you know it. You need to socialize. What does that mean for you? Go out with your friends. You're worth it. Go see a movie with your girlfriends. Go out with your guy friends, and watch a game, whatever. And the emotional component is a lot of us, again, need to be aware of our emotions. What are they? We're so busy and we're so thought-oriented. Often we're just not paying attention to what we're feeling. So just being aware when you're feeling anger for a long period of time, being aware when you're feeling hurt or disappointed in some of the negative emotions that can really take energy away from you. How am I going to become more emotionally aware and choose my emotions more consciously, you know, around my attitudes? What do I want to try to feel more of? More joy, more happiness, more peace, and get intentional with the 6-step process for each of those domains.
Thank you so much, Charles. What great ideas. And what I loved about all of them is they're so simple and easy to implement really quickly. So those are things that don't necessarily take a whole lot of planning and things. Well, they could. It depends on how you want to do it. But there's a lot of them that you mentioned where it's just simple, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, even if you start there and kind of build on it as you go. Just, wow, really, really good points. And then the other thing that I just wanted to add to that, and you may have mentioned this earlier, is when you take those steps and when you start noticing those results, definitely take a moment to celebrate. Like, take time to celebrate the fact that you were able to stick to those new habits or, you know, to take care of yourself better than you were before. And take a moment to do that, because that's going to help keep that momentum going for you and keep you moving in the right direction rather than getting more stressed and overwhelmed.
That's an important step, and maybe that's a 7-step plan. Or, you know, there's another sentence to step six. Yes, please do it. Most of us don't. We treat ourselves pretty poorly, you know, internally in our own minds. Reward yourself. Give yourself some credit. Give yourself a break in terms of, you know, you're already trying. You're making progress with self-care. If you reward yourself, it's going to motivate your brain to want to do it again. So even if you don't want to reward yourself, do it anyway and fake it till you make it. And with all of this, Charissa, too, I did want to mention that this is a work in progress. And we're not looking for perfection for people like me that are recovering perfectionists. What I'm looking for today is progress, not perfection. And I think that should be the focus for us, knowing that we're going to slip, knowing that we're going to, you know, have some setbacks. But the point is to be able to measure progress over time.
Progress, not perfection. That's going to be my new favorite tagline, Charles. I love that.
It's not original. That's from Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's so true. You know, I still use it all the time.
Yep, very true. So, Charles, we're already at the top of the hour. My goodness, the time has just gone by so quickly. So if you have any closing thoughts, do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I don't. You know, we've said so much. I think if this is all, I will say this, if this seems overwhelming, which it may, then simplify it and simplify it again. And like I said, literally, one vegetable a day, one prayer a day, you know, one friend that you talk to a week, something, do something that is a bit of a stretch for you, but that's not absolutely impossible to do. I mean, don't set yourself up for failure, which we can do. Set yourself up for success and take steps. And sort of the metaphor is walk into the pool, starting at the shallow end, and before you know it, you'll be floating in the deep end. It's a matter of time.
Very well said. Thank you, Charles. So one of the things that I came across in this area of self-care, when I was looking into this area of self-care, is this quote that I'd like to close on, and it's by Jill Bolt Taylor. And she said, to experience peace does not mean that your life is always blissful. It means that you're capable of tapping into a blissful state of mind amidst the normal chaos of a hectic life. So think about that. If you really want to experience that peace and blissfulness, even though your routine may not routine, but you know what you do for work may not change, or your environment may not change drastically or anything like that, but you can tap into those moments of happiness and bliss if you do take that time out and take the time to recharge and to focus on what it is that's important to you. And then one other quick thing I wanted to share is just a couple of things that help me personally when it comes to self-care. So a couple of things that I like to do. Prayer and meditation is very important exercise. And then the third thing is being intentional about spending time with my daughter and just doing fun activities. So it could even be spending time with, you know, with your loved ones, doing things that you all enjoy. So with that, I'd like to encourage you all to just take, like Charles said, just commit. As you're listening to this, commit to one little thing, one small step that you're going to take tonight, even if you just have to schedule it tonight, that you're going to commit to doing, and just see how you feel over time, see how you go and how you progress. So if anyone would like to reach me, you can contact me at info, that's I-N-F-O, at charissasebastian.com, and my website is charissasebastian.com. All my social media links can be found on that website. And remember to check out our Women's Retreat website, which is stopsmilebreathe.com, for information on our next retreat in February. And please come join us if you're in the Dallas area. We would love to see you there. So, Charles, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, speaking of self-care, right, the retreat that you have coming up, all the women out there, if you're going to be in the Dallas area, you need to go to that. I wish that I could go. I'm kind of like, well, Charissa, you need to have one for guys too. No. So,
well, yeah, we'll talk about that, Charles, for sure.
Yeah, I know we will. So yeah, that's exciting. I know that's coming up. So for me, to close on, you can reach me at fullintegrationcoaching.com. An email you can use is info@fullintegrationcoaching.com. Again, follow along on social media. My Facebook is, what is that, Full Integration Coaching. And I'm on Twitter. I think it's Full Integration Coach. But you can definitely find me there. Follow along. I try to post things that are in line with what I offer clients, that's helpful, it's relevant, along self-care, self-development, leadership. And I look forward to hearing from any of our listeners in the future.
Thanks, Charles. And Charles shares just absolutely amazing content on social media as well as his website and on his blog. So I highly encourage you to check that out as well. And then, Charles, would you like to share that special offer that you mentioned at the beginning? I think it was a Veterans Day special offer that you had for our listeners.
It is. Yes, for any veteran out there, if you know a veteran or if you are a veteran and you're interested in talking with me a bit about life coaching, I would be glad to. And I am through November 30th of 2015, this year, I'm offering you 25% off of my life coaching packages. So that basically means one free session per month. I do four sessions per month, an hour each. And that's for my 3, 6, and 12-month packages. I would love to help you find your mission, if you're looking for that, to connect with your purpose and passion in everything you do.
Thank you so much again, Charles. And that's a very, very generous offer. So I highly recommend that people take you up on that, because that is definitely very, very valuable. So to find out more about Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to lifecoachradionetwork.com and you can find more information on our coaches and on future shows. I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know about some of our upcoming shows. On November 18th at noon Eastern, there's a show entitled Should I Stay or Should I Go? Career Transitions in Motion with certified coach Susan Gonzalez. And then on November 25th at noon Eastern is the show Think Tank, How to Recognize and Navigate Toxic Relationships with me, Jan Jaffe, and Susan Gonzalez. So thank you all so much for listening in. And I look forward to having you listen in on the next show, which is going to be, my next show is going to be the third Monday of next month. So I look forward to that. And thank you again, Charles. It has been absolutely amazing. I've learned so much from you, and I know our listeners have as well. So thanks again, Charles.
Thank you, Sharissa. It was a lot of fun being on.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.